Welcome, Wanda, to our podcast. Very happy that you're here. We met like 8 years ago. We've known each other for a while and we haven't seen each other for ages.
It's so true. Yeah.
You lived in Bali for 3 years and now you're back in Munich. And so, yeah, finally we got together. You're also about to start your own podcast. And so we decided to talk about love. And so I'm very, very happy that you're here. And let's maybe start with a question: what love means to you? What role does love play in your daily life?
Yeah, so first of all, thank you so much for inviting me to your podcast. I'm super excited about this coincidence that we get to interview each other today after such a long time we haven't seen each other. And yeah, love, wow, it's such a big topic. And I think it's a beautiful topic you dedicated your podcast on, because I think it's more important than ever in our lives and in this world we live in, to bring more love into this world. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
And yeah, love, what does it mean to me? I believe that love is our very essence. So love is who we are in our very depth and our core. So when we get born as a baby, we're so pure. We are just, yeah, pure beingness, pure love. And there's no, you know, no anger, no hatred, no sadness about a pure baby. There's just this pure bundle of love. Mm-hmm. And this is also, we feel that whenever we see a baby, we go like, oh my God, my heart is melting. My heart is wide open. And yeah, from my experience, and you know, I'm a yoga teacher, and I'm also the past 10 years I've been going deep inside of myself and my own self-development and uncovering the layers that have been put over my own heart. Mm-hmm. and knowing that all the experiences we made in our childhood, trauma we experienced, and we all did, you know, actually there's no one who had a beautiful or like a perfect childhood. There's no one. It's just an ideal, you know, we have. But there's always pain we experienced. And whenever pain happens to a child, it cannot say like, oh, I'm sad, but they children just deal with it and put layers around their heart. So mm-hmm. at some stage when we get grown up, we have a covered heart, right? And we, it's hard for us to express our love. We are afraid to get hurt again, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the fear to love, actually, the fear to love again and to be loved in return. And I think there's there's a lot of work actually that needs to be done to love again and to awaken this love again inside of us that have been covered. And I think the world is in the stage where it's at because our hearts are covered.
Mm-hmm. Would you say like something that everybody has though, or do you think they're like people who have more love inside themselves than others, or is it just that they handle love differently or the pain?
I think we are able to have an infinite, you know, an infinite source of love inside ourselves, mm-hmm. like an infinite source. Everyone can love the same. I'm mm-hmm. so sure. I mean, no one gets born and is evil. No one. Yeah, just no one gets born as evil. Mm-hmm. So why get people evil or angry or hurt each other is that there happens so much to them that hurt them so much that they covered their heart and they are disconnected from their feelings, mm-hmm. disconnect from their heart, from their compassion, you know. And I think when we don't come back to our love and our compassion, then we continue to, you know, bring this ruin, you know, Mother Earth, you know, are hurtful to animals and all of that. And it comes from a place of, and you know, a covered heart where we don't feel compassion because we don't feel anything anymore mm-hmm. in ourselves. But it's a survival mechanism we learn as a child. So it's nothing conscious. Nobody, you know, wakes up and goes like, oh, I actually don't want to feel compassionate today, or actually I don't want to feel loving, or I don't want to, you know, everyone mm-hmm. would consciously choose that, I guess. But it's something very unconscious, I think.
And would you say, I don't know, when did you start with yoga? Because I would be very interested if, like, yoga made a big change in your life. Mm-hmm. Like, did you start, like, did you decide to, like, unravel your heart again and mm-hmm. put more love into your life? Mm-hmm. Or is that something that comes natural to you?
I did a lot of work. Like, sometimes people say to me, what I like about you, Wanda, is you're so authentic, you're mm-hmm. so real. And I go like, yeah, it was a lot of work. It's not that easy. You know, sometimes you say, just be yourself, you know, just be yourself. But it's not just like, mm-hmm. like being ourselves. I think it's like it's a big journey. Like it's a life journey.
I had a very interesting conversation about that just a couple of days ago mm-hmm. About being yourself, because somebody was talking about a person who took like a lot of characteristics from the people around them mm-hmm. but I think it's so normal, like when you form your character, like from when you're little, you start forming your character through the people around you, through your parents, through mm-hmm. your environment, through the people that are around you. So they said, like, this person doesn't have anything that's himself anymore. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, it's such a hard definition, like being yourself, because yourself is always a creation of the people around you. Would you agree with that?
I think there is, you know, different selves. In yoga, mm-hmm. we speak about different selves. Mm-hmm. So I don't like, you know, this... I'm not a big fan of definitions like there's a lower self and a higher self. Why I don't like that is because it's a dualistic thinking mind, mm-hmm. you know, that thinks in black and white. And yes, there's something called the ego, which is actually the thing that says, I am this and I am that. You know, I'm one, I'm living in Munich, I'm a yoga teacher, I have a car, you know, but this is mm-hmm. not who I am. Like, yes, it's what I do. I love to teach yoga. Yes, I love to have, you know, a Fiat 500, you know. it's beautiful to have that and I enjoy it, but that's not my soul. So mm-hmm. so in yoga, we speak about an infinite part inside of you, you know, that's just infinite, that's undying, you know, that's just immortal. And then there's this human self, you know, my body that ages and dies and all of that, and that is not eternal and that is constantly changing. So we have this changing you and the unchanging you. Mm-hmm. So I like these definitions more. So you have an unchanging self and it's a changing self. And I think, yeah, like in yoga...
But like when you say the unchanging self, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. is that like the self, the way that you were born? Or how would you describe the unchanging self?
Well, you can call it many names, you know. Some people say it's your divine essence, mm-hmm. it's love, it's light, it's your soul. Mm-hmm. And that is always there. It's always there. And that is unchanging, your soul, you know, your essence. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't seen each other for a long time, Farina, you know, but your essence is the same, mm-hmm. right? So... But there's you also have developed, right? Mm-hmm. Right? So you also grown as a character and as a person. Mm-hmm. So your personality might have changed, but there's an essence that didn't change.
And now to come back to what you said in the beginning, you said that we're all born like with the essence of love. Mm-hmm. So would you say that we all have the same like original essence that never changes? Or is that different for every person?
Yes, we all have the same essence. So mm-hmm. when we speak in yoga about the divine, you can call it God, you can call it Buddha or a greater thing, you know, than you, that is unrelated to any religion, but just something higher than you. And in yoga, we speak about consciousness and a field, like an ocean of consciousness, mm-hmm. just like pure beingness. And we all return after we die in this body, we turn back to this very consciousness and this pure space, which is nothing really. And it's hard for the mind to grasp that. But so, yes, we are all from the same essence. And yet we have a very, in yoga, we speak about a dharma or a very specific Mahat, which means like the great idea why you came here, and which is like your imprint of soul, mm-hmm. like a soul essence, like a soul flavor.
Yeah.
So I believe that, you know, it's what I believe and what I choose to believe, is that we are all one, and we all have, and at the same time, we have a very individual essence.
Mm-hmm.
So in our core, we are pure love and light. But then, you know, you come here and you are a photographer and you're connecting people and you're traveling a lot, and you do that, and you love what you do, and this is your very individual essence, what mm-hmm. you're bringing forth through your profession in this world.
I really like the way you put it, because now I'm thinking about, because I think for me it's very easy to connect to people. Would you say that, since you said love is the very essence of everyone,
mm-hmm.
would you say love is the one thing that we connect to every person? Like, it's like the easiest way to connect to another person? Is it through love?
Yes. Like, I think love has so many expressions. Like, when we talk right now, you know, mm-hmm. like the voice mm-hmm. is like right over the heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
So where do you feel love? We feel it in our heart. When we are excited, when we fall in love, we have like a higher heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then in the ideal way in yoga, we want to, you know, in our in our development as humans in this body, we want to come to the heart. You know, we want to open this energy center called like Anahata Chakra,
mm-hmm.
and then to express in the most truthful way, in the most direct way, with people from our tongue, you know, from our lips. So we kiss with our lips. So the heart is directly under this communication tool. So I think to communicate from the heart, right? Like heart to heart communication is a way of expressing love.
Yes.
Yeah, so I think love is so many things. Like when we hug a person, we can express love with our bodies, right? With body language, mm-hmm. we can talk, you know, sharing from our heart in the most, authentic, vulnerable way. And there are so many ways, I think, to express love. Or teaching yoga, you know, practicing yoga, practicing meditation can be an expression of love.
I don't know how to get the shift now. But,
Where we need to shift.
I really, really like the way you put it, like with the communication. I never thought about it that way, but it's like so true, because it's like so close to the heart.
Well, photography. I mean, you're doing photos of, you know, love couples. You're shooting weddings. I mean, it's all about love, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So clearly you're very drawn to this topic, right?
Yes. So that's kind of how I got the idea, because there are so many beautiful love stories. I hear at every wedding. I'm like, oh my God, they need a platform to be shared.
Yeah.
Like they need to be a platform where love stories can be shared.
Yes.
And so that's a good thing to talk about now, because I remember there was one point you talked about like sharing like a perfect image of love through social
mm-hmm.
media.
Mm-hmm.
And I think especially like in the time of social media, I just talked to a student yesterday, and mm-hmm. she told me about like all the struggle they have in school, like through social media, mm-hmm. like the mobbing stuff is like even worse with social media. Like mm-hmm. I feel like I don't want to be in school right now.
Yeah.
But also there's like the side that you see like all these perfect lives on social media. And I remember there was like a time where you said that you also shared like too much of a perfect love, perfect life on social media. But in reality, there's like insecurity and unsureness.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's an important topic to talk about, social media and what, you know, picture perfect we project, because in the end, it's a projection. Like, this is not the real life. Like, we should never forget. Like, it's a platform. It's fun. And, you know, it's fun to connect with people. And it's a big tool and times have shifted a lot, like a lot. That also for me, social media have become my job, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I reach so many people through social media, and I'm very grateful for that. Yes. So I also love it. Like there's, I think there's this love-hate relationship with social media. Everyone has to deal with, right? And I think there are many dangerous sides to social media too, you know, because we come like so easily into the loop of comparison mm-hmm. and comparing our life to others. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because in the end, like what I sometimes ask myself, like, would I do yoga without social media? Yes. Like I love it. Mm-hmm. You know, would you do photography if you have Definitely. No social media? Yeah, right. So there's no point of comparing ourselves, mm-hmm. right? But we do it anyway. And we see the perfect life as others and all of that. And especially for young people who cannot discern and think that's the real life, mm-hmm. right? So I did, and this is a suggestion for everyone listening. Like I did a cleanup, like an unfollowing. Like it took like 3 hours for me, and I went through all people in my list, and I unfollowed like radically anyone who's just exposing him or herself like perfectly, and it's not really bringing any content that's inspiring for me, mm-hmm. right? Yes. Or so I did that because I'm not interested in seeing just perfection or just seeing you know, another sexy beach bum drinking coconut in Australia, Byron Bay, you know, like I'm not interested, like, you know, like this is just boring. So I just want to
kind
follow.
Of just like marketing a perfect life.
Yes, marketing a perfect life, and it has become a job, you know, becoming mm-hmm. an influencer and just putting, you know, beautiful products into the camera, and so this is a job, and I'm very aware of that. You are aware of that, but I think young people are often not aware of it, yeah, and they're just buying into it.
But I also like have to think about that a lot, and because I'm not sure, like I think maybe I'm posting like too much of like the perfect life, maybe.
I mean,
like I'm not sure, like I try to be like really open and honest,
yeah,
and I also share, like for example last year when I moved to London, mm-hmm. I had so much insecurity inside of me,
yeah,
and I shared all of that because yeah. I think it's important to talk about these parts as well, like
amazing.
When you feel like
yeah
really insecure. I had a moment where I felt like I literally like lost ground under my mm-hmm. feet, and it was such a weird feeling. Like, I don't know, I never had that before. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, like, I think my parents are sometimes like, well, Farina, you don't need mm-hmm. to share that, you mm-hmm. know? But mm-hmm. I feel it's important to share these feelings as well, or especially these feelings.
Yeah, I totally agree. So I think it's... I'm in the shift myself of allowing myself more to be seen in all my vulnerability and mm-hmm. in my insecurity. And for me as a yoga teacher, it's even more hard sometimes, I feel, because I'm a teacher, mm-hmm. you know, I'm a role model to others.
Yes.
So letting myself be seen in my most human self is sometimes even harder because there's also this teacher professional self, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
And there are many yoga teachers, and I have teachers myself who are, you know, giving themselves very distant, you know, and there's this idea of teachers in the yoga scene needing to be very distant, you know, and needing to have like, you know, a teacher-student relationship. And mm-hmm. and so, and now actually in the beginning of this year, I made inside of myself a big reflection about all of that and where I came to that place where I'd be like, what kind of teacher I want to be. Mm-hmm. And I came to the conclusion that I want to be a teacher who is a friend and who is human and who's very nice. Human, you know. And
that's also what I decided for myself with my photography. It's also like I it's important to me to come across as a friend and not as a stranger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's so beautiful. We need to be friends, no matter if it's, you know, in whatever relationship we are, I mm-hmm. think. And I think social media needs more realness, needs more vulnerability. And for me right now, I'm so inspired by people who show themselves in their most vulnerable way. And mm-hmm. what I have been doing, what you asked me, and to come back to your question, in my last relationship, was that we exposed ourselves a lot in our happiness and our beauty and Bali couple, yogis, you know, perfection life. And we really celebrated that and that was fun. But what I didn't do was that I shared the pain and the struggle we had at mm-hmm. the same time. And I didn't share that. And that's just one, you know, that's just one, like, you know, example of how we just share the beauty and not also the pain struggle. And the darkness of life, because it's part of life, you know. Mm-hmm. Life is not always happiness and joy. I mean, and I think it's important that we bring more of the realness into social media.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree.
Yeah. So it takes courage too, right? So because also for you, that's also what I wanted to say to you, is that of course your job as a photographer, lifestyle, you know, wedding, it's all about beauty. It's all about the mm-hmm. happy moments of life, and that's what people want to see. But I think it's also equally beautiful, you know, if you, for example, show a woman, you know, having a little bit of a belly or, you know, having scars or all of that, you know, mm-hmm. just like to have also a little bit of contrast. And at the same time, it's, you know, I think we're both fans of, you know, we like beauty, right?
Yes.
So I like beauty too, you know. So I'm also I like aesthetic things, and,
yes.
and I think there's nothing wrong with that. And also, of course, you know, it's nice. I also share beautiful pictures. I like to put beautiful pictures out there, but I think this is also important at the same time to at least speak with beautiful pictures also about the darkness, or once mm-hmm. in a while, you know, putting up an ugly selfie. And I'm not there myself yet, right? Like, I'm still in that stage where, like, oh no, I have pimples on my face, I cannot post that, there needs to be and you know, whenever I do a story, I'm like, oh, thanks for all the filters, you know, that's so great, you know. You know, and like you are lying in bed and you're trying all these filters and you go like, oh, it's so nice, all these filters, you know. And I think it's okay that we also use these tools to make ourselves looking pretty at times. I think that's fine, but I think we should not forget that, and also express at the same time our insecurities and what mm-hmm. we struggle with.
Yes, I think it's important to share that as well, because if we don't, then we always get the picture perfect that everyone is not struggling.
Mm-hmm.
And since we don't talk about it, it's also, it feels like we can't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's very important to like show that we can also share like problems and darker mm-hmm. thoughts.
Yes, definitely.
And so to come back to the relationship and mm-hmm. social media mm-hmm. thing.
Yes.
You are in a happy relationship at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you say, how are you handling it different now mm-hmm. than before?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I chose to not share it immediately that I was in love again. I wanted to take time and, you know, also to not make, you know, the exposure and the love the most important topic, or, mm-hmm. you know, to make it come across, you know, look what I have and you don't. I think this is sometimes I'm struggling with that. I sometimes don't share also some things because I go like, I don't want to make people jealous, or, mm-hmm. you know, want to over share things that are actually beautiful, but, you know, like I'm very like kind of sensitive to that. And this is one point, but also I just want to, you know, not make my social media all about my, you know, exposure of my love life.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I had made this experience that, it was actually not good for my past relationship, because what I was reflecting on is that we always shared beautiful pictures, beautiful moments, but it was like a reaffirmation of like, you know, we had a fight and then it goes like, well, actually we love each other, right? Let's make a beautiful picture and post on Instagram, right? So
yeah.
So it was kind of a reflex even, mm-hmm. like to reaffirm that everything's perfect, right? But in reality, there was a lot of shit going on.
Yes.
So I think this is what often happens. And I observed that actually in other relationships, that there is a lot of pain in this relationship, but they kept on posting the most beautiful pictures of themselves half naked, you know, somewhere in the waterfall. But then actually, like, the relationship was nearly over, you know. So this is like what I also observe a lot in social media, that people, you know, create this picture perfect around themselves, and especially in the yoga scene, like, you know, everyone who does a 200-hour yoga teacher training puts himself, you know, under a waterfall doing, you know, a dancer pose and writes an intelligent quote and goes like, well, now I'm super wise and, you know, I'm a yogi and whatever. Mm-hmm. But it's just like an ideal picture of themselves they put out. But when you meet them in person, they're not at all like this.
Yes.
You know, so I think this is very dangerous. Like, people put this idealized self-image there, like how they want to see themselves, mm-hmm. but in reality they're actually not. Yes. So, and I also did that. So I did that by just posting the beauty, and
so,
because
you just try to, like,
I tried to
back a bit, and
and I tried to put this relationship up on a pedestal and be like, mm-hmm. oh, it's so perfect, so perfect. No, there's nothing wrong with us, right?
Yeah.
So I kind of tried to fool myself. So I was not honest to myself in that way. So mm-hmm. if I would share today, like, I think now in 1.5, we're together 1.5 years, and I shared 3 posts since then. This is not a lot, right?
Yeah, I know. I did, like, for a long time, I didn't know you're back in a relationship.
Yeah, and I make this, like, very conscious, like, to just also, you know. And I think I will keep sharing also more from our relationship, like also in my podcast. I want to talk about our relationship and what tools we have in our relationship, because we are actually very happy and, mm-hmm. and it's very fulfilling to be with him. And I'm so grateful for this relationship. And yeah, so I think we will also keep on, communicating what are our tools, what is helping us to keep our relationship the way it is.
That's very interesting. So can I ask you, what these tools are?
Yeah.
I know you're going to, like, talk about it way more on your podcast, you can give us, like, a little, like, relationship tip, maybe. What would you say? Yeah. What is, like, the essence of making it work?
Mm. So in that last relationship, because we actually struggled a lot, I went into therapy after 3 months. So, I mean, everyone out there listening, maybe you had this relationship where, you know, actually after 1 or 2 months, actually it's already over, but you keep on, you keep on going for 1.5 years or even longer, you know? So what this opportunity gave me was that I went into therapy and I was reflecting a lot in that time about myself. And we also went together in couples coaching, and the first thing she made us do is write down our values.
Mm-hmm.
So really write down, what are your top 5 values? So everyone should do that. And I actually now use these tools also in my teacher training for people to become really clear about what is moving them in their life, like, mm-hmm. and how they want to live their life. And I think this is something everyone should reflect on.
I even think
in,
that's like a general thing, like, not even
actually,
in relationships.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, reflect on your values. So what are values? Like, values are like directions, how we want to live. So honesty, of course, everyone would say, I love honesty, right? Truthfulness, transparency, communication, kindness, mm-hmm. these are all values. So, but then as a next step, which is important, because if I say, for example, one of my values is freedom, and you say, yeah, I totally agree, one of my values is freedom too. But then we actually have to speak about, what does that mean to us?
Yes.
Because it's just a word, and everyone would, you know, interpret.
Everyone has a different definition
of it, right? Yes. So we actually need to talk about also, what does it mean to us?
Mm-hmm.
And what I came across, like, in my last relationship was that he had a big need for freedom, and I love freedom too, but I love also closeness and, mm-hmm. and so he had a bigger need, for example, for freedom, mm-hmm. than me. So immediately, when there's a big difference in values, there's a point of conflict.
Yes.
So it's very easy. It's very easy. If you see that you have different values, then you see already the potential for conflict and discussions, because the needs are different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So now with my my partner now, we have very, very similar values. So we have actually no point of conflict. So mm-hmm. there's, because we want the same yes. in our lives. So, you know, for example, we have transparency is a very big one for us. We talk about everything, like everything. Yes. So we are best friends. We are partners. We are business partners. We live together. We are lovers. So we are a lot for each other. And we really like that. Like mm-hmm. this, like we are very close. And at the same time, you know, we also give each other a lot of freedom. So we have this and we are very honest. So one of the highest values also for us, honesty. So even when it hurts, that we are very honest to each other, communicating what we need. So we communicate a lot. Communication is a big tool, a big value for us. And then also self-development. So we both aim to develop ourselves. So mm-hmm. to grow and learn and never stop doing that. So we both love that too.
Can I ask on like, yeah. at what time did you talk about the values? Like, was it in the very beginning or like just yeah. at some point?
Yeah, no, actually very in the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, because I know now I'm just very clear about, I'm much more, or let's say I'm very clear about what I want mm-hmm. and more about who I am and how I want to live. And so I think it's actually very good to do that in the very beginning, to yes. check out what each other wants from life. So yes. so if you find out, okay, well, this person, let's say one person says, you know what, I'm not sure what I want in life. I'm, you know, I'm here and there, just go with the flow. And you go, well, I'm very clear in life. I want kids. I want to live, at a lake or whatever, and you're very clear, and the other person goes like, well, just not be, you know, so stressful, let's just go with the flow. Then you immediately know it's not gonna work. right so I think it's very good to become clear about mm-hmm. this in the very beginning.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Would you say it could work if you don't have the same values but know how to handle them?
Yes, I think so. I mean, depending on what the values are. For example, I just had a very interesting talk with friends about open relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say one has the value of monogamy, mm-hmm. you know, and single love and no sex with other people, which I think most people have. But then the other person goes like, well, I have a need for polygamy and I want to, you know, have many friends, girlfriends, you know,
yeah, okay,
and
then definitely not
that's
gonna work,
not going to work, right? So I think it really depends on what the values are,
yes. okay.
Because otherwise there is going to be conflict for
yes.
sure. And I think also if one, for let's say one values freedom and the other one is closeness,
mm-hmm.
and the person who wants more freedom is constantly riding on that need and is not considering the need of closeness mm-hmm. of the other person. So I think it's always needs, if the values are so different, yeah, then it needs to meet each other in the middle.
Yes.
Yeah, because if one has a big need for freedom and
I would also agree, like yeah. both need to like really want to, if they really want to be together, they have
yeah.
to accept the need of the other person.
Definitely, yeah. And to also be considerate, right?
Yes.
To not go like, well, I have a need for freedom, you know. I'm going to go 1 week sailing now. Arrivederci, you know, say goodbye. So have fun alone at home. Like, this is very also, I think, very egoistic
mm-hmm.
and self-centered. So I think, you know, relationship is always about relating.
Yes.
Yeah. So relating with the other and finding the middle path,
yes.
finding what works for both.
Yes. And
yeah.
now I really wanted to ask
yeah.
you about how you guys met. I was like
yeah.
waiting for this the whole time. And we were talking,
yeah.
like kind of talking about it earlier, and then you're like, no, we're gonna save it for the podcast.
Yeah, we said it.
So now I'm like burning to hear the story.
Yeah, I don't believe in coincidences, you know. I think nothing is like, I think everything comes together in the perfect timing in life.
Mm-hmm.
And I also believe in that we attract what we send out. So the vibration, like in yoga, we speak a lot about that we are vibrating beings, like we are beings of love and light, and we are vibrating in a, as a inner specific frequency.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're vibrating in a specific frequency, just like an instrument, like a violin vibrates, then you're gonna perhaps, you know, attract another violin. And yeah, so when we met, I was vibrating actually at a level of I love myself so much that I'm not willing to settle for anything less than a man who will love me as much as I love myself,
mm-hmm.
and who is able to hold me in my strength, especially in my strength, and in my softness and my weakness.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very clear about that.
Yes.
And what I want. And I want a man who's willing to commit to me, like 100%. And a man who's very present and very strong and very soft at the same time. Like, who has a very open heart. And I was very clear in my heart what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, I was like, I'm complete in myself, so I actually don't need anyone. So because before, you know, I was dating some guys in between my last relationship and this one, mm-hmm. was dating some guys, and it was, everything was, you know, and then you as a woman, you know, it's so hard, because I think not only as a woman, but especially as a woman, to go on dates, and, you know, maybe you have sex and it's hard to not fall in love.
Mm-hmm.
And so I fell in love with a guy, but for him, he didn't want to commit. So, and I was like, what was the point of all of this? You know, mm-hmm. that there was no point of this. And in the end, it was not worth it to have sex. You know, it was not worth it. And, you know, I spoke a lot with my girlfriends about that, you know, it's just not worth it. Even though we want cuddling, we want close, we want intimacy, but it's not worth it, because in the end, if someone is not willing to commit to you,
yes.
but you wish for a relationship, so and then you get your heart broken, and you cry for weeks. Like, this is so shit. So I was like, actually, I gotta check this guy out before I gonna sleep with him, right? So and then I was very clear when I met my boyfriend. I was like, you know, I gotta check him out, like, a lot before it, you know. So yeah, what are his values, is he really willing to commit, and all of that. Mm-hmm. So I was very clear, and so when we met, I actually was not looking at it for a guy at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I lived in Bali back then, and I came back to Munich to give a workshop here, and a friend of mine who I actually met in Bali here, and she I was sleeping at her house. And it was Christmas time, and we wanted to go to the Christmas market. And that was something for me, you know, living in Bali, there's no Christmas, you know, there's no, like, cold, or you have 45 degrees every day, sweating like crazy. And you come back to Germany, and it was like looking forward to this Christmas market like the whole year, you know, like a glue vine on the Christmas market, amazing, you know, and all of this, and a crepe, a warm crepe with Nutella and stuff. So I was like really looking forward to that. And then she said, like, you know, do you mind if a friend of mine comes with us? Because, you know, he just split up with his girlfriend, and he's here. He's my best. I know him for 18 years, you know. Do you mind if Marcel comes with us? And I was like, no, not at all. And she was like, yeah, he's amazing. Oh, well, actually, he's a guy for you, you know. I was like, really? And then she said, like, yeah, like, I think, like, he's, like, she said, like, he's a gift. Like, he's a gift. Like, aww. He's so amazing. And I was like, oh, really? Well, then what does he look like? And I was like, yeah, he looks good. But maybe, you know, he's like, oh, maybe he's not your type, because you're more into dark haired guys, and he's really blonde, has blue eyes. But I don't know. Let's just check him out, right? So I was like, okay, I'm open, you know. And then the magical thing that happened was that she said, like, well, he's coming with his dog. And I was like, wow, I didn't know, like, what kind of dog does he has? And she said, he has a Pyrenean mountain dog. Also in German, it's Pyrenean Berghund. So that's mm-hmm. a very, very rare race of dogs. And the funny thing is, or the crazy thing is, that I have lived with such a dog for 10 years of my life.
Oh, wow.
And he was part of our family. So in between, and this dog died when I was like 15. And I never will forget, you know, when the dog died, because it was the only time when I saw my dad cry. Like, and I never saw him crying before or after.
Oh, wow.
So it was really like, you know, a family member. Everyone mm-hmm. who has a dog can relate, yeah? So after our dog died, I never saw this dog again, this kind of dog. Mm-hmm. It's a very rare dog. In German, it's Herdenschutzhund. Like they, you know, they live in the mountains. They are, and their task is to protect the sheep outside of a Labrador or a Golden Retriever or such a dog. So they are outside of it. They're actually fighting against, you know, wolves or bears, you mm-hmm. know. So there's a very giant dog. It looks like a giant ice bear. It really does. And it's like 60 kilos. It's a giant dog. And so in that moment, she said what kind of dog he had. One of my bracelets broke and fell to the floor just without touching it. And it was like, it felt like something snipped, like an energetic shift in the air was happening, and I felt it, and we both were like looking at each other, and I was like, wow, that was like kind of a sign, you know. It's like, wow. And then the door opened when he came to pick us up for the Christmas market, and he came in, and the first thing I saw was the dog. And I was just like, and it felt like a homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
Like it felt like, oh my god, I'm home. Like, aww. Yeah, it was really like, I know these people, you know. It was really like, I know you're crying. That's beautiful. Yeah. So I felt like I know this dog, I know this man, and it felt immediately, I felt home, and I felt, yeah, like that it has to be like this. It felt not strange at all. It didn't felt like he's a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
And we went into his car, his VW bus, and I sat next to him in the VW bus, and I knew in this moment, I sat down in this chair, I was like, I meant to sit next to him.
Aww.
Like it was like I meant to drive with his bus with him. And it was so funny because we didn't know each other, right? Wait for it, guys. So the magic of the story is just going, it's just starting, going to happen. Right? It's just starting because it's getting even more crazy. So then we went to the Christmas market, you know, we had a conversation. It was all nice. We drank some Feuerzangenbowle and we were a little bit drunk. And then Gloria said, well, there's a fortune teller in the tent. She puts tarot cards.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. That's fun. You know, let's go all together. And she was with her boyfriend. And we had this idea to go, the four of us, to go into the tent and mm-hmm. let us tell a fortune with a tarot teller, you know, the tarot reader. And to go the four of us into the tent at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, you go one by one, but we wanted to go all together. So we went. And like the fortune teller didn't know, you know, who was together in the tent, because we were intentionally not sitting, you know, in pairs. So mm-hmm. we were like, you know, he didn't know, right? So we went in and he started to talk. And then he said, so to me, he said about Bali and Munich, he said, you know, Bali is always going to be a home for you, but actually you're more needed in Germany. So you can maybe make a bridge to Bali and, you know, bring people from Germany and do retreats maybe in Bali, or you can do something else in Bali. So you always can come back to this place. But actually, like Munich is a very good place for you, and it's inviting you with open arms. So at that stage, I still lived in Bali.
Mm-hmm.
And then to Marcel, so my partner, he said, well, you just been out of a relationship. So his relationship ended at this stage, I think, for 3-4 months. Not that long. But he said, like, well, the last woman was not the one for you. But now, like, the next woman is the love of your life, and you're going to marry her. Like, that's the one for you. And then he, in that moment, he like looked up and looked at me and was like kind of checking in the room if she's maybe here, you know. And then he was like, next year will be all about love for you. And you've been very successful in your profession. And he was, mm-hmm. you know, he had a company for 25 years. He built that company and he sold it very successfully. So he put a lot of energy in his profession already. So now it's all about love, he said. And now you're going to be very successful in love. And there was, in that moment, I knew that I'm this woman. When mm-hmm. he said it, I knew it. And yes, he knew that as well. Mm-hmm. And imagine in that moment, we knew each other for 1 hour, right? So everyone in the room, like, including my friends, you know, my friends Gloria and Marco, they knew it too. Mm-hmm. So afterwards we spoke about that, not on that day, but like, but in that moment when I, you know, this moment when you have a thought and you go like, no, this is totally like, no. Like, this is so, you have an idea, it's like your intuition telling uh-huh. you, right? But you go like, no, this is too unrealistic. This is too big to dream of, you know? And I was like, no. But I was like, oh, that's interesting, you know. And so we went on and we had a beautiful evening. And then the next day I was sleeping in my friend's house, and my flight was actually going, it was a Friday, Thursday, and my flight was going Tuesday back to Bali.
Okay, yeah.
And so, and then like somehow Marcel happened to be at Gloria's house like every night then. And we, you know, we had dinner and drank wine, and I was like, I don't know. I was very holding back, because usually when I like someone, I go like full in, like I tell mm-hmm. them right away, you know. But I was like, this time I was like really holding back. Mm-hmm. It was like more laid back, and I was like, you know, if it's gonna need to happen, like if he wants me, he can tell me, you know. Like if he, you know, is interested, like I'm not gonna do anything this time.
So funny,
you know?
It was so similar.
Yeah. So I waited, and Gloria was like, well, he really likes you, and normally he's not here every night, right? So I was like, are you sure? I'm not sure. So then he left Sunday night, but he didn't say, can I have your number? Like, can we connect on Facebook? He didn't say anything like mm-hmm. this. So I was like, oh my God, I was crying Sunday night. He didn't ask me, you know? And at that time, actually, I had very short hair. Like, I had maybe 5 centimeters, like I shaved my head, you know, so I had very short hair, and there was also, I mean, I looked more, not like a boy, but, you know, a little bit more, you can say a little bit more masculine, right? It's like mm-hmm. a little bit more edgy also.
Yes.
And it's not like typical, you know, long hair, beauty. So there was also a part of me that was a little bit insecure about that, and was like, oh, maybe he doesn't like girls with short hair, you know, because just from my look.
Mm-hmm.
But then on Monday, he wrote to me, was like, Wanda, like, do you want to have a walk with me, with my dog at the lake? And I was like, yes! And he picked me up at Globetrotter in Munich at a shop. And we drove to the Starnberger Lake. And but we're sitting right now also here in our house. And yeah, and we had a beautiful walk, and we went back to his house, and we put on the fire. It was, you know, it was on the 11th of December, and and we had a beautiful talk, and I had one thing, like kind of a test. I wanted to test him, and I said, you know, because I was just before, when I was in November, I was, and
it was the day before you left, right?
Yeah, it was one day before. Okay. I left, and there was, like, I did a relationship workshop for one week, what it was all about, conscious relating.
Mm-hmm.
And in this relationship workshop, one exercise we did was just sitting, breathing, and looking into each other's eyes mm-hmm. and feeling each other, like, for 5 minutes, you know, just speaking nothing, just being present with each other.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, you know, there's an exercise I want to do with you. Are you open to do it with me? And it was like, yeah, sure. So we sat down, and we just looked into each other's eyes, and I wanted to check if he's able to just be present with me,
mm-hmm.
you know, just be present and hold space. And,
yes.
And he could. So, so he passed the test. And yeah, in that night, like, we kissed each other, and I felt,
oh no, like, a day before you left.
One day before I left. But I felt immediately seen, like, that was always something so important for me, that I felt seen in my mm-hmm. in my soul, in my essence, like who I am, and I felt he was seeing me
mm-hmm.
like, and in my essence, and that was so beautiful. And I felt, yeah, it was very exciting. But well, I did fly back actually to Bali, but I flew to Hamburg, because then it was Christmas time, and
to your family.
Yes, to my family, okay. To Hamburg, and it was Christmas time, and there was another workshop, but my flight was on the 3rd of January exactly. Okay. So And then he happened to actually come on the second day of Christmas. He drove with a car all the way from Munich to Hamburg to visit me. So,
and then he met your family.
Met my parents on our second date. So the same thing you just told me about your
parents even before
before you kissed. Yeah, well, we actually just kissed before that, right?
Yeah.
So before we just kissed, and then he immediately met my parents. I was like, well, this is like in the old days, you know? Like, it's so funny. Yeah, this was all like, yeah, but it was perfect. It was perfect.
Nice.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing. Yeah.
You're so welcome.
I teared up a little bit.
Yeah, that was beautiful to see.
Yes, how, because I think, I don't know how long we've been talking.
I'm not sure either.
Probably way too long.
Probably.
It's just the catching up because we haven't seen us for so long.
Yeah.
But for the people who are listening, how can they get in touch with you if they want to know more about you, if they want to learn from you?
Yeah.
If they want to do yoga with Wanda.
Yeah, if they want to do yoga with me. Well, so first of all, of course, there is my Instagram, Wanda Badwal. Then you can check out my website, wandabadwal.com. So I give regularly retreats, workshops. I also give teacher training, so I'm educating fresh new yoga teachers. And where else? So I give also live classes. So I give also free online live classes on Facebook Live. And I also have a YouTube channel. And
I didn't know that about the live thing.
Yeah, actually.
Do you have
a
Facebook group for that? Or
On my Facebook page. So I give now every Wednesday. So I call it Wonderful Morning. It's every Wednesday now, starting next week, 6:30 in the morning. So before people go to work, they can practice yoga with me. And afterwards, the video is still online and it's going to YouTube. So there's yoga meditation happening. Mm-hmm. And then also I'm launching my first own podcast. Yes, I'm also very excited about. I think it will be online in June. Yeah, beginning of June. So yeah, lots of amazing projects happening. Yes, and I'm writing a book currently, and which will be published in October. So,
oh wow!
Yeah,
many so many things exciting
happening.
Things.
Yes, it's amazing.
Wow!
Yeah,
I could keep talking for hours and ask you
but
about
we still
all
have
the
to
projects.
Record my podcast, and I have to ask you now.
Yes. So maybe we'll just come back together and do another interview at some other time.
I would love that. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast, Polina.
Thank you.